the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It is pitch black outside. As we know, summer is over, and days are a lot shorter. That's why it's dark, but it's beautiful. It's 62 degrees, I believe, 6 o'clock, straight up Chicago time, and it's wonderful. It is a wonderful time in Chicago, and they're talking about, the first thing they're talking about in the news is that Hurricane Patricia is bearing down on Mexico, and it's saying thousands of people, they're fleeing the furious hurricane ever in Mexico. These guys are expecting a lot of damage and maybe some deaths. This is what they're saying, destruction of Mexico, of certain parts of Mexico. And they are serious. This is the number one thing that's heading the news. Let's pray for those people. Let's pray for the country. Let's pray everything isn't as bad as the meteorologists and the weather guys are forecasting and predicting and saying. A lot of this stuff is not prediction. They are saying that this is going to happen. But let's just say until it happens is a prediction. Okay? And let's pray for those people. A lot of people are fleeing the country, fleeing the part of that country that's under the eye of this hurricane. So let's pray for those people and hope that everything is okay and that the damage is minimal, if any at all. And people are fleeing the country and fleeing the part. I'm looking at it right here on my computer screen. And let's see what else it says about it, because this is serious. This is more important than, you know. Okay, Hurricane Patricia bears down on Mexico as the strongest storm ever. Wow, that is something, the strongest storm ever. And on my television, on the television setting back of me, they're saying the same thing. So they're talking about some serious damage in Mexico. So I will be talking about that in and out of the show today, and tomorrow I'll be on the air. We're going to have some my thoughts on it and some news bites of it. And it's just horrible. I mean, it's just horrible. The weather is just, you can't predict it. It just happens. And best thing you can do is get out of the way and try to keep yourself safe. So this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for being here. I was a little bit under the weather yesterday, so sometimes when I'm under the weather, those are some of my best shows when I'm sick on the air. But I don't know if it's one of my best shows, but I wasn't feeling too well yesterday, but I kind of got through it. I helped myself with a lot of clips. So I got to go back and listen to it and see how it turned out. Okay, you can always call me in and tell me what you thought about it or you think about it after you archive the show and archive this one. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, 347-857-1762. Let's get back to this hurricane. Okay. Tens of thousands of people are being evacuated this Friday from, if I can get this right, Mexico's Pacific coast as the strongest hurricane ever recorded in the Western Hemisphere. Boy, that's something. Pacific Coast as the strongest hurricane ever recorded in the Western Hemisphere. That's rough. Bore down on the population and tourists who are packing sustained winds up to 190 miles an hour, down from 200 miles an hour earlier in the day. So it's already there. It's just getting stronger. Actually, it's getting stronger. It's getting weaker. Then it gets stronger, gets weaker, gets stronger. Okay. All right. The U.S. National Hurricane Center predict that Category 5 Hurricane Patricia will make a potentially catastrophic landfall in the southwestern Mexico later on in the day. The center described the storm as the most powerful ever recorded in the eastern Pacific or Atlantic basins. Okay, it warned of powerful winds and torrential rains that could bring life-threatening flash floodings and dangerous destructive storm surge. That is something. And that is why a lot of people are fleeing Mexico. Patricia is one of the strongest tropical cyclones. It's a cyclone now globally ever observed based on the lowest central pressure, okay, and maximum surface. As you can tell, I'm not a meteorologist, okay? I'm just reading this, okay? So basically, I mean, in a nutshell, it's a possible, the way they're describing this is that like the whole country can be destroyed with this hurricane. They're saying Mexico is in trouble. You know, so I'm pretty sure that most people are out of the country by now, but some people are steadfast. They're gonna go down with the ship. You know, they're not gonna leave their condos, their hotel rooms, their homes, or whatever they're in, or their studios. They're gonna go down with the ship. The hurricane comes, it comes. You know, does the damage, it does the damage. But I've heard this kind of thing happen before, where the meteorologists and the weather centers around the world predict a lot of hurricanes, and people are up and they leave, people flee, they leave, they run, and suddenly there's nothing. There's nothing as catastrophic as the meteorologists and the weather centers were reporting. So a lot of people saying, well, maybe they could be wrong. They might be wrong, so we're going to stay. So they're going to stay and not heed the warnings, and they're going to go down with the ship. What I mean, go down with the ship, if a hurricane comes and just cause devastation, obviously they're going to lose their lives. They're going to lose their lives. But this is what they've chosen to do. If they want to stay, they stay. You know, that's up to them. But I would probably heed what the weather people are saying, whether they're wrong or right. You never know. Get to safety, leave, flee. You know, take whatever you can with you, your personal items. Take whatever you can, but get out of the way of the storm, you know. And because you can always get that stuff again if you lose it, you can get it again. It can be replaced. Your life will not be replaced. Okay. All right. So let's pray for those people over there. And like I said before, throughout the show today, maybe even tomorrow and Sunday, I will be talking about the ramification of this storm if it should happen. But this is deadly. This is serious. This is no joke. So if you people over there in Mexico, if you can get me, if you can get this show and you're listening, keep yourself safe. You know, I mean, get out of the eye of the storm. This is serious. This is very serious. Even some of the meteorologists are saying the same thing as I'm saying. Actually, I'm saying what they're saying because I'm reporting what they're reporting, you know, because I don't know until they report it. But it sounds like it's really something. So by being something, you should, you know, flee. I mean, hey, you're young, you're vibrant, you're strong. You lose something. I mean, you lose your possessions in this thing. You can always, you know, replace some of those things. Like I just said, you don't need to stay and go down with the ship. You know, I wouldn't recommend that. Think of your family. Think of your friends. Think of your dreams. Think of your work, your businesses, or whatever you're doing. So you don't really want to do that. But, you know, that's up to you. You know, whether you want to go down with the ship, then, hey, go down with the ship. But I would say flee and save yourselves and, you know, and live for another day. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting again live from Chicago. And I'm talking about things in the news, such as this Hurricane Patricia. I wanted to say one thing about Patricia. It kind of opened my eyes a little bit when I found out that they named this particular hurricane Patricia, because I have a sister named Patricia. And I guess that means nothing if you compare it. I'm just saying it's the way they name these hurricanes. It's just that, wow. And there was a hurricane that they had named once called George, Hurricane George. I'm saying, wow. And it's funny how they just get these names. I'm pretty sure there's some scientific way that they come up with these names for these hurricanes out of the Caribbean and all that kind of thing. So I don't know. Well, anyway, this is my show and we're on the air, and thank you for being with me. Thank you for downloading and archiving and listening to the show. Thank you for your feedback. All right, on that, always, you miss a show here, you will always miss a lot, because I try to put a lot into these shows. All right, let's move right along. Let's move right along. Let's get to the presidential race. I have here on the screen that some Americans are ignorant of history, on history, and on the George Washington Jr. show. I think that's a misprint. You know, I guess some Americans are ignorant of the George Washington Jr. show. I guess that would mean probably they don't know about this show. I'm pretty sure as I continue to put on the show, I'm pretty sure more and more people will find out about the show. And I want to say one thing. I'm going to be changing my time slot here. I'm going to go from in the coming weeks, or maybe in the coming few days, sometime, sometime in November, I'm going to be changing my time slot. I'm going to be moving to at least to 1 to 2 o'clock up in the day, maybe 12 noon. You know, I'm going to change my, I'll let you guys know when I change. So if you're listening to me starting at 6 o'clock, or you're calling in at 6:30, or the guests and stuff like that. So I'm going to change my time slot. I'm going to move away from prime time just to see how it is up. You know, I'm just kind of checking it all out, you know, seeing where best I fit. You know, I'm not saying this is not a good slot. This is not a good time slot right here during prime time. But I'm saying this is Friday night. I'm on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 to sometimes 8 p.m. Sometimes that's not good for people to want to listen to the show, because you, during those times, that prime time, you're with your family, you're having dinner, you're out, you're having fun, you've worked all week, so you don't have time to listen to the show. A lot of people can't listen to the show that time, and I understand that. I understand it. So then there are people who can listen to the show at this time in prime time. But I'm going to try it anyway, just for a few weeks, few months, or maybe, to see how it goes, see how my listenership and my base go. And if that doesn't work, then I'll move right back to prime time, 6 to 7:30, 6 to 8 o'clock, 3 hours a day or something like that. Because some of my predecessors and some of the radio hosts that I look up to, you know, they are doing some of the same things. So who knows? Maybe I'm moving because my competition is too much at this time. I have a lot of competition. Excuse me. I have a lot of competition, you know. So, and I'm trying to, I'm just a needle in a haystack. I'm trying to find my way out of it. But like I said, there's going to be a time change. I'll let you know when that happens. And it's going to happen pretty soon. It's going to happen pretty soon. I'm just going to see, try to see where I can fit into this radio hosting thing, and what is the best time for me to be on the air. Maybe I should have said it that way. Okay, I'm going to try up in the day, noon, in the afternoon, try those slots, see where it goes from there. If it goes nowhere, then I'm back here in my normal slot time, which is prime time. Prime time, you know, but prime time is good because a lot of people are getting off work and they're settling in. They're having dinner with their kids. They don't have people don't have time to listen to an internet radio show unless they're on their devices or something. I mean, you can. It's possible. But I do get a lot of people who archive the show, and that's great. And that's wonderful. So I'll keep you in touch with that, okay? That will be coming up real soon. Kind of looking forward to it, you know, because I've been doing this primetime thing for a year and a half just about. And I'm going to, in the next half of the year, I'm going to try, or the next few months, or the next few weeks even, I'm going to try and move to a different time slot. And I will let you guys know all about that. Even if you missed the show, you can still archive it, no matter what time I'm on the air. You can always look for George Wilder Jr., the show, and archive the radio show at any time, no matter what I'm on. If I'm on at midnight, it doesn't matter. You know, so I'm going to give it a try. You know, who knows? That might be a good thing for me. It might not be such a good thing for me back here. All right. So what we have here on the screen is some Americans are ignorant on history. That's a misprint, okay? Well, I guess what I'm trying to say, a lot of Americans, young Americans, do not know much about their history, how we got here. Because the reason why I guess I say this is because a lot of Americans do not vote. And part of the history was getting people to vote. The suffrage, women's suffrage. Remember that back in the 1920s where women were not allowed to vote? Susan B. Anthony, she was beat up, abused, ridiculed because she wanted women to vote. And yet last November, hardly anybody voted. That's one of the things I believe people are ignorant on in history, is that so many people fought, died. They were humiliated. They were abused. And all they was fighting for was the right to vote. To vote. Now, I was on Facebook the other day, and a Facebook friend of mine, he was so adamant. I mean, he was adamant about not voting. He called all of us who are voters, he called us idiots. I swear, he called us idiots because we voted, because this was a democracy. And I'm thinking that a lot of this is probably going around people who do not vote, do not believe in voting, are calling the people who are voters, people who are part of democracy, people who do love their country, calling us idiots. Now, I could have picked a fight with him, but I didn't want to do that. I'm not that type of person. I just thanked him for his thoughts. That's all I did. And I'm not going to unfriend him because of that. He seems like a pretty nice young man. He's just backwards thinking. And that's the kind of thinking that we have to change. We have to change the mindset of those who think voting is an idiotic thing to do. It is not. Not voting is the reason why we got all of these asshole Republicans in these governorships around the United States who are wreaking havoc on the middle class and the working poor. We have to change the minds of these people, and we have to change them quick, change it quick, because 2016 is coming, and it's coming up quickly. It's not slowing down. And we need every voter out there who is a voter to exercise their right to vote. But it was just something that this guy, I'm not going to say his name, because there's probably, like I just said, there's probably thousands of other people out there who feel the same way, that voting is a waste of time. Voting doesn't do anything. Voting is against my religion. Voting is something I never did. I don't know how to vote. Some of these people, minds you can never change. You know, some of them you can never change. So my thing is, if you don't vote, if you don't take a part in American democracy, why are you here? If you're born in the United States, if you live in the United States, if you're part of the United States, then you should take a part in the democracy, the freedom. You can run this country. You can be a leader in the direction that you want this country to go. You have say in what's going on. Yeah, I agree. A lot of these politicians, they piss you off. They make you mad. They lie. They go against their own promises. They slap you in the face. I totally agree, and that's why, and a lot of people don't vote because of that, because a lot of the politicians have let them down, especially Democrats, and even some Republicans. These politicians have let you and me down. I mean, because we vote for these guys, we believe in them. You know, they come around during campaigns shaking our hands, asking us how our lives are, kissing our babies, shaking the hands with our young children, and somehow we wind up voting for them because they look honest, they look trustworthy, they look like they want to help do something for the people who are voting them in office, and they get in the office, they turn colors, you know, they turn colors, they become someone else, you know, they become bought off, paid for. The only thing they're thinking about once they get elected is re-election, basically. And most of them, I agree, they say what you want. They say what they think they want you to hear. You know, behind closed doors, secret meetings. I like to be a fly on the wall and stuff. But you can't let that, yeah, all of that happens and it's wrong and it's thuggish and... But you got to vote. I understand that a lot of politicians are corrupt. They will become corrupt. You know, a lot of them are insane. And sometimes you feel like it's a waste of time voting. I can concur. All do your best to pick the right candidate. Sometimes that is hard because some of these candidates are great actors. They can, you know, make you think they're going to do give you the world. And once they're elected, they don't even know you anymore. They do something. They work against you. They work against your interest. And you feel so helpless that you voted for this clown. And now this clown has turned his back on you and hurting you, hurting your income, hurting your family. I understand that, but we have to keep trying until we get this right. Stop voting for people with nice names. Stop voting for people because they're pretty or beautiful or handsome. You vote for people who's going to represent you, do the best for you and your district and your people, have your interests above every other interest, even their own. Voting is not idiotic. It is not crazy. It is not dumb. Some people are who are saying those things and who do not want to vote. Voting is crucial. People fought and died and sweated and suffered for you and me to have a chance to go to the polls and pick someone who is going to represent us. If we pick and choose the wrong person, guy or gal, then we'll have another chance at it. More than likely, people do not vote because they don't trust politicians. All politicians are corrupt in some way. I can concur. I can agree. But every now and then, a silver lining, you might actually get a good, good politician. That is rare. But do not let that stop you from, you know, voting. Voting. We have an election that's coming up right now. I'm going to vote. I vote every time I'm supposed to. And it is true, if you do not vote, if you do not vote, you're going to lose your vote and you will not be able to vote. If you're not voting, it's going to be harder for you to start to vote because the Republicans are going to suppress your vote. The Republicans are going to do everything they can to keep you from voting. Suppressing your vote in every way, lying, cheating, being snarky. They're going to do everything they can to suppress your vote to keep you from going to the polls. That should energize you right there to vote, because anytime the Republicans are trying to stop you from doing something, it must be a good thing, or they would not be there to stop you. Yeah, I'm trying to. Yes, I am trying to convince people to do their duty and try to keep some of these clowns out of office. Out of office. You know, because that's how they got here. If you talk about the Republican governors all around the southern states, they got there because black people, African-American people in those states did not vote. And now they're being suppressed. They're being stepped on. Their unions are being busted. Social programs are limited or none because of this. And a whole lot of horrific things are going. Collective bargaining is being thrown out of the window. This is because you did not vote. Your jobs are gone. Your jobs are disappearing. They're going overseas. This is because you did not vote. Whenever you do not vote, that is a vote for a Republican. Oh, I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to vote. They're all crooks. They're all corrupt. They're no good. They're liars. They're low down. They're crazy. I agree with you. They are. But you, as a voter, you have to vet these guys. You got to make sure that the person that you're voting for is the person that's going to do the right thing pertaining to issues related to your problems or the problems of your district or the problem of your city or your state or of America. We've got to get these guys out. If they're in, we got to get them out. If they're not in, we got to keep them from getting in. Because a lot of these guys, they're not for you. Corporations, Wall Street, the rich, they're running this country. The rich people are running this country. The people who've got the $1 million are running this country. You are not running this country. You're on food stamps. You're not running anything. You're not running this country. You're on Medicaid. You're not running this country. You're shopping at Aldi's. But you can. You can have a part in it of running the country, and that's if you vote. Even if you're shopping at Aldi's, getting food stamps, you can still be a part of this democracy. You can still take a lead, and you take that lead by voting. You vote for people. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. This is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr.'s show. I want to apologize yesterday because I did have a guest supposed to appear on the show. He never showed up. I guess things like that happen to people. Things like that happen. I mean, he was going to talk about his book. He was some sort of a certified mental clerk for athletes. And I was kind of interested in that because I wanted to learn something about that. But I guess wait till next time. So if you were listening to the show yesterday and you were expecting this guy to come on, I did kind of pitch him a little bit. But if you were expecting this guy to come on to talk about whatever he's going to talk about, I'm sorry. I apologize. There is no guest today, so I don't have to worry about that. You know, whether they're coming on or not. But majority of the time, most guests, when they are asked them on the show, and I do ask them, and sometimes they are asked me if they want to be on the show. And most guests, I do show up, and they do a great job. If you go back and archive and listen to some of my earlier shows, you'll see that these are wonderful guests. And I've got more guests coming up in November. So week. Stay tuned for that. And these, I love guests because I love having conversations with these people, and because I've always learned something from them. Like I've always say, I learned something from them, and they always have a different take on the same question. And that's great. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Another, I want to say this again. I'm going to try and change my time slot. Okay, so get ready for that. Even if you're not ready for it, check me out, and you can always find out the time of that the show will be starting. But for the duration of October, it will be the same time every day that is current. However, sometime in November, I will be moving my time, moving it back, maybe 4 or 5 hours, and we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that works out. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I just got to talking about voting, and basically, that's it. That's it. The history of people fighting for us to have the freedom to vote. And we're not doing it. It's just they're disappointed. They're rolling over in their graves. You know, I broke my back for you. Why aren't you getting out there and vote? I mean, like I said before, a friend of mine from Facebook called us idiots because we voted. We vote. We're not idiots. I mean, we're just taking part in the democracy that we have here in the United States. That I think everybody should be taking part of it. And a lot of people will not do that. They'll give excuses. My religion won't let me vote, or it's just something that about politicians I don't like, I don't trust, so I don't vote. Politicians, they always disappointing me, letting me down and caving in and working against my interests. That's why I don't vote. I don't keep forgetting to vote. I don't vote because I'm not registered to vote. There is really no excuse not to vote. There is really no excuse. If you're living in the United States, if you were born in the United States, you're over 18, you are a citizen, you should be registered to vote. And you are totally a citizen of the United States, you should be registered to vote. It's your right. Because if you do not use your vote, you will lose your vote. The more you vote, the easier it becomes to vote. If you never voted or hate to vote or think it sucks or thinks everybody who votes is an idiot, then it's going to be hard for you to vote because you're going to have to come up with all kind of things, IDs and everything. I mean, I think 2 years ago, I walked into the polling place. I had my ID on me. I had it on me. But I got a chance to vote. Nobody asked me for it. They just said, well, I'll go over there and vote. You know, so that's what I did. They pulled up some paperwork on me, though. But still in all, I did not show any ID. And that's a good thing. But in some states, you have to show ID. Basically, that was the first time I've been voting all my life, but that was the first time I did not have to show an ID. Actually, I think it's great to have an ID, though, to show an ID when you go to work. I mean, when you go to vote. You go to vote, you should have an ID, you know, because, I mean, it's just the right thing to do, I guess, you know. But some states, you don't have to vote. Some people, you go in and you don't. It's so easy to vote. I guess that's what I'm saying. It's easy. The more you vote, the easier it becomes. The less you vote, the harder it becomes. And something that's so simple and so elementary becomes kind of, you know, difficult. Don't let voting be difficult. It can't be difficult. It should not be difficult. And those of us who are voters, we are not idiots. I want to say idiots are the people who refuse to vote, but I'm not going to go that far because I don't think it's worth my time or your time to think that people who don't vote are idiots. No. They're not idiots. And people who do vote, they're not idiots. people who do vote should spend their time convincing other people to vote. Just like people who believe in God and believe in Jesus, believe in God, try to go around convincing other people to believe in Jesus and God. People who vote should go around try to recruit other people to vote. I think that's only fair. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's been fun. It's been wonderful. I'm not off the air. I sound like I'm going off the air, right? All right, 347-857-1762. And this is Friday. This is beautiful Friday. Happy Friday. Happy Friday, everyone. Okay, we're going to break right here. We're going to be right back on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, let me see if we can hook up something here. Sanders, gun control, school layoffs, robots. Yeah, I was saying that I think a couple shows back I was talking about robots taking over the workplace. That's happening. You know why that's happening? Because now we've got cars. They're building cars. They have built cars, actually, that do not need a driver. That's a robot. Okay? Cars that do not need a driver. It drives by itself. With so many sensors on the car, it can tell you when you're about to go into a crash, get into a crash, or get too close to the other car behind you or on the side of you. That's neat. I would love that. I would love to be able to get in a car and a car drives itself. You know, so, but I don't know. I think I'm used to having my hand on the wheel. You know what I'm saying? But it's just, technology is just a son of a gun. You know, it's just a son of a gun, a driverless car. Wow, because I'm pretty sure they're going to cost about $100,000 but or more. So I can kiss that goodbye, right? But just the thought of it, it's a robot, you know. It's a robot. Driverless cars. I used to have dreams about, when I was a kid, I used to have dreams about seeing flying cars in the sky. Just cars flying across the sky, you know, like in Back to the Future, those Back to the Future movies. They were fun movies. I think I saw all three of them. I think my favorite movie of the trilogy was probably Back to the Future 3. Don't get me wrong, I liked all those movies, and I thought that they were really something. Even though they predicted, I think the second movie predicted that the Cubs would win the World Series. No, they did not. No, they didn't even get close to the World Series. But however, they did get to the second round in the playoffs, and that's where they just died. I mean, they were swept by the Mets, 4-0. The Cubs did not win a game. And the thing about it, the news media in Chicago, they're playing it down like the Cubs are the greatest thing ever. They're not. I mean, they had a wonderful season. Regular season, of course. It was great. It was exciting. It was electrifying. But when they got to the playoffs, it was like, blah. They just had the wind knocked out of them. They didn't win, especially in the second round of the playoffs, they did not win one game. The best out of 7, they didn't win not one. They lost all 4. They never led in either game. The hitting was not there. The base running was not there. The offense was not there. But anyway, that's over and done. And so everybody's saying, well, wait till next year. That's what they always say about Cubs. They've been saying wait till next year for 108 years pertaining to the Cubs, because that's how long it's been since they actually won the World Series. It was 108 years today from 2015. So I don't know. I mean, I think they just in the playoffs. But if you want to actually give the Chicago Cubs some credit, you can give them a credit for a good regular season, because by them having a good regular season propel them into the playoffs. Okay? So they would have never gotten to the playoffs if they hadn't been a great team during the regular season. But after that, they just went down the tubes. And I am disappointed because I thought they were going to go all the way, man. You know, but then they just, the air went out somewhere. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, talking about things in the news. What I'm saying on history, I'm saying in the history of voting, the history of voting rights. Okay, that is something we should be hearing and looking for in some of these presidential debates. They should be talking about how important voting is. Obama should be out there talking about how important voting is. Because like I said before, the reason why we have Bruce Rauner in the Illinois governorship is because people did not vote. Simple as that. Rauner keeps going around saying that people voted for him. Nobody voted for you, man. Nobody voted for you, Rauner. And if somebody was stupid enough to vote for you, they are wanting their vote back because they know they voted the wrong way. They know they voted against their interest. So I should have probably changed the title to Voting History, Why We Should Vote. Well, we'll do that in another show because it is very, very important to vote. Okay? Because if we don't vote, you know, the Republicans are going to take us back. They said it. They will do it. And we have to vote to take this country back from the millionaires and the billionaires. Because they're running the country now. The corporations, Wall Street. Like I just said, you're not running it. I'm not running it. That guy over there in the wheelchair, he's not running it. The millionaires and the billionaires. The person who's going to work every day is not running the country. The person who's making $15, $16 an hour is not running the country. The millionaires, the billionaires, the Wall Streeters, the donors, the lobbyists, these people are running the country. Even these people are even writing laws. They're writing laws. Excuse me. Yeah, they're writing laws for us to live by. It's a shame. You know, why are they doing it? Because they have the money. Money talks. I mean, when a politician wants to run for office, they're broke. You know, and if they do the right thing, say the right thing, and become bought and paid for, you know, they'll get big money from their donors. But they have to walk and talk and preach what their donors want them to say, or they're out. And we have to stop that. It's rough fighting money. The Supreme Court, they're the ones to blame for this influx of money into our government and elections. They are to blame. I mean, a 5-4 court is to blame. You got 5 Republicans and 4 Democrats on the Supreme Court. Those 5 Republicans are to blame for this on the Supreme Court. So much money and influx of money from people everywhere buying elections. That's how Bruce Rauner got in the office. He bought this election. He bought it. Research it. This guy was giving out gift cards to people for people to vote for him. You had turncoat African Americans voting for him. And after he won the election, he gave them all jobs. It was payback for their support. And now I'm pretty sure some of them wish they hadn't supported this guy. But it's too late now. There's nothing you can do now. The best thing you can do is vote him out or try to get him out. Because Bruce Rauner is just as corrupt as any other Republican governor around the country, especially if they have their backs on the if they have the next, the feet on the necks of the poor. And most of them do. Most of them do. And like I said, I keep saying it, vote, vote, vote. And for the people out there who think that voters are stupid and ignorant, they vote, I would say don't think that. It's not true. It's not true. I think people who vote are the smartest people in the world. People who don't vote, maybe they are low informational voters or non-voters. You know, but don't say people who vote are stupid. Don't say people who vote are sinners. Say that people who vote are doing their duty. Like I said before, earlier in the show, yeah, politicians are low down, they're liars, but we have to vet them. That means we have to kind of like research them. Don't just vote for somebody just because they have a nice name or they looking good or whatever. You have to research them. You know, this chick, this woman, what's her name? Carly Fiorina. She's running for president of the United States on the Republican side of the aisle. I mean, this lady looks like a demon. I don't think she's going to get votes because she looks like a demon. Boy, I mean, she really wants to rip up Planned Parenthood. She wants to rip up all the social programs. She's a hater. She's a hater. She looks like that, and she's running for president. Would you vote for her? No way. Am I an idiot? No, I'm not. Are you an idiot? No. Carly Fiorina might be. See, she doesn't need to be vetted. I mean, her venom is shown there right on her face and with her demeanor. She is not for you. But she's way down there in the polls. She's going to be dropping off real soon, and that's a good thing. Even though she's a Republican, even though I would never vote for her, I don't think and she's way down there in the polls, maybe about 1% or 2% now. She sunk herself. She was up there for a while, but she went down, and it's her own doing. It is her own doing. And it's a good thing because I don't think she was totally, totally not qualified to be president. Totally not qualified. See, we have to vote to keep people like that out of office. And I can tell you one thing about voting. When you vote, you go there and you do your duty and you vote. After you have voted, you feel pretty good about it. You feel really, I mean, once I emerged from that voting booth, after I just, you know, spend a few minutes in there voting, I feel good. I walk out of there, my shoulders up, my legs are straight. I mean, I'm walking out of there like, you know, feeling positive, feeling good about myself that I've just done something, you know. And it magnifies when your vote helps the candidate that you want to win. It feels good. You are a winner. You know, once your candidate wins, you're the winner. And even if you lose, you feel, well, I did what I did, and just got to try it again. And a lot of people feel like that. They feel, well, I voted for my candidate. My candidate lost. I'm not going to vote again. That's a weak excuse. That's not a good excuse. That is no way of a good excuse. For not voting because your candidate lost. And another thing is not a good excuse is you're not voting because all politicians are corrupt. Or if you're not voting because your religion tells you not to vote. Those are not good excuses to vote. I can say they're idiotic. But I'm not calling the person who's not voting an idiot, but not to vote is idiotic, especially if you are living in the United States. You are an American citizen. You've been here a while. Why not participate in the process, the democracy here? I think a lot of us are blessed to live in a country like this. Make yourself heard. Make yourself counted. Stop being ignorant on the history of voting. I'm going to change that title. Because I think it's somewhat of a misprint and make it a little bit more clearer. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to take a break right here. What can we play? Let's see what we get, what kind of clips we have. Let's see. Okay, we'll be right back. Stay with me.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
After decades of ignoring or delaying financial obligations like pension funds, this is what it's come to in Chicago, a city on the brink, a mayor who needed to be escorted from his own town hall meeting over the budget, a county with the highest sales tax in the nation, a hodgepodge of proposed fees, and a proposed property tax increase that will set records.
There is almost a perfect storm of tax increases coming forward in Chicago.
Hi, Richard M. Daley.
It was the Richard M. Daley administration that, according to Crane Chicago Business, skipped pension payments once for as long as a decade. Now the problem belongs to Rahm Emanuel, and as he puts together his budget, he puts the burden back on taxpayers. Millions in revenue from red light cameras are now indispensable. The property tax increase is anticipated to be $500 million. The city is looking at a garbage collection fee for the first time ever. And a group of city aldermen calling themselves the Progressive Caucus wants to tax luxuries like fur coats and jewelry, charge a fee for Uber rides, and impose a bad business tax for companies that pay less than a determined wage.
We will eliminate once and for all what we started 4 years ago, the structural deficit that we inherited of $654 million. Three, we will rid the budget of all the sleight of hand and gimmicks that were built up over years to hide the real cost of operating the budget.
Even with all the new revenue, experts say it is not enough to lift the city's bond rating out of junk bond status.
The proceeds from the tax increase are not going to go for new schools. It's not going to go for more policemen. It's not going to go for any new city services. It's going to pay the unfunded pension liability and perhaps the debt on the interest that the city has already generated.
Chicago public schools are $480 million in the hole. Mayor Emanuel proposed a 7% pay cut for teachers, and they threatened a strike. In Chicago, Mike Tobin, Fox News.
All right. That's just some of the bad news out of Chicago. I mean, we are in dire straits. There's no budget. There's still no budget here for Illinois. And these guys doesn't seem like they even give a damn about a budget. So, you know, we just got to hang in there, and I'll keep talking, you know, so.
Let me just say this. While we become outraged with all the violence in Chicago, we've got to connect the dots. It is no coincidence that homicides are up and shootings are up. This weekend, 2 killed, 45 shot this weekend. And all this is going on while the governor has cut all summer employment jobs, and while the governor has ended all anti-violence jobs in this state. It's no coincidence when you're on the street and you're abandoned by the government why violence is up in this city and why violence is up in this state. The governor is a co-conspirator of what's going on right now in the streets of Chicago. We got to make him understand that Illinois is not another business investment of his. is a state where there's people whose lives are at risk. Don't treat this like some business investment, Bruce. Treat this like there's people who elected you. This is our money. This is tax money. We have a say-so in our happiness with it.
How dare this man close the doors on our children? What's the difference in what he's doing now than Bull Connor did back in the day? We're not going to take it, ladies and gentlemen. The governor wants to balance the budget off of poor people, off of handicapped people, off of the mentally ill. Ladies and gentlemen, he wants to balance the budget off our baby. But guess what? Have you ever heard him talking about telling his corporate people to take a pay cut?
No.
Have you ever heard him talk about reducing some of those corporate loopholes?
No.
Have you ever heard him talking about, okay, we have been in the crisis here in Illinois. It's not the Republicans' fault. It's not the Democrats' fault. It's really the economy. And everybody has not been paying their fair share. There's some boys on LaSalle Street that make billions of billions of dollars. And I'm like the governor, quite frankly. I don't want to raise taxes, but I want everybody to pay their fair share. And they are making some transactions that they're not paying taxes on. So the only thing I'm saying to the governor, make sure that everybody's in, including my baby, and nobody's left out, including your friends. So with that being said, Mr. Governor, let us go back to Springfield. You want a budget? Let's talk about a budget. Let us gather the money from the guys on LaSalle Street and let's have a financial transaction tax. And then when we get finished doing that, Mr. Governor, let's develop our own bank like North Dakota. And if that's not enough, Mr. Governor, let's get rid of the insurance industry and have a single payer health care so everybody can truly be in and nobody be left out.
Don't mess with my children. You know something? We don't have to put up with a bully. A bully cannot win when people stand together. A bully cannot win when you're standing with your brothers and your sisters. A bully can't win when you build coalitions in the neighborhood. A bully only wins when you let him. Right now we have a coalition of individuals because we understand what Governor Rauner does not understand, and that is everything is connected. We are connected to one another. Child care is connected to a good education. Education is connected to health care, because you're not going to learn if you're sick. You're not going to learn if you're hungry. That's connected to a good job. That's connected to this state. This is not about one person who doesn't want to turn us around. He wants to turn us backwards. We are not going backwards. This is not we're going to be standing up here in the street, dancing, working for free. This is our state. This is not Ronnerville. This is not Trump City. No, this is the city and the state of the people of Illinois that deserve.
All right. They are saying that the powerful Hurricane Patricia hit Mexico's Pacific coast. It's already there. And this thing, they got some kind of image up here of the eye of the hurricane, and it looks menacing. If you go to MSN.com, it's right there. It looks horrible, man. This is scared the hell out of me. And I'm in Chicago, you know, so, but, I guess maybe I'm just fearing for those who are the eye of this thing. This thing looks menacing. I mean, it looks exactly like an eye, but a lot of color, and it's just it's horrifying. Okay, the map of Hurricane Patricia, the storm which meteorologists say is the strongest hurricane ever recorded in the history of the Western Hemisphere, was expected to make landfall. And I think it has made landfall because they're saying it just hit the Mexican Pacific coast. Now, I don't know how many people are there or if they were there or if they have been evacuated. I don't know, but we're trying to get more information on this because this is something. You're talking about lives. Breaking news, Mexico City. Hurricane Patricia struck Mexico's Pacific coast as a potentially catastrophic Category 5 storm today, Friday, as one of the most, okay, it's breaking news. I mean, that's what this thing is. And it's not good. Okay, we're trying to, hunkering down. The shores of Puerto Rico, the heart of a string of resorts, islands, I'm presuming, that range from low-end mega hotels, to exclusive villas, those are pretty expensive, attracting tech billionaires, all right, and pop stars, loudspeakers blare ordering people to evacuate hotels as light rain fell and a breeze of ruffled palm trees. The streets emptied as police sirens wailed. Man, federal water official Ramirez said that 15,000 domestic and foreign tourists had been evacuated from the area. The government warned that ash and other material from the volcano of Comalmo, about 130 miles from Puerto Rico, could combine with the massive rainfall to trigger liquid cement. This is bad. So this is a place where technology, billionaires, who create technology and pop stars, movie stars, virtually rich people visit. So they had to kind of evacuate. But this is serious. This is breaking news. This is at the top of the list. You turn on the news, you turn on television, you go to cable, you go to the weather channels or anything. This is top priority. And I understand it. Okay, wow. Still, some visitors to Puerto Rico choose to adopt a more philosophical outlook. Yeah, they want to stay. They're going to hunker down. Some people are not going to evacuate. They're going to stay there. I mean, this is where they live. This is their home. If something happens to their home, they might as well go down with their home. They're going to go down with the ship, sink with the boat. And that is their prerogative. But it's bad news. And like I said before, I'm going to be talking about this storm in and out of the show today, probably talk about it tomorrow and on Sunday because, this is breaking news. And this is what this show is about, things in the news. Okay, is that a typical dim? I'm looking at the screen here. Trump calls Sanders a communist. And I think if I can shift gears here, I think that's something that Sanders need to address. I mean, that's one of the things I think is a reason why his poll numbers are falling. He's in the dumpsters. I just saw a recent article about him, and it seemed as though he's desperate. He's trying to pull himself up from behind. And I don't think Hillary showing at the Benghazi hearings and other places is the reason for Sanders' fall. I think his fall is probably due to his debate performance, and people. I think his fall is due to his debate performance and people not knowing the meaning of the word socialist. And on top of that, Donald Trump called him a communist. See, the thing about this is that Sanders has to fight back on this. He has to come back with this. He just can't let Donald Trump call him a socialist and say nothing. Those are fighting words. When you talk about communism, you're talking about the McCarthy era back in 1956, where so many people were accused of being communists. And there's so many people out here don't know what the hell that people are talking about when they say communist or socialist. And Sanders has to get on the pedestal and talk to people and tell people what these terms mean, because he is being labeled with these negative terms. Socialist is not a negative term, but communist can be. Okay? And he has to explain these things to people. Because a lot of people are, what can I say, low informational. Some are ignorant, and I hate to say that, but some people are. Look at Ben Carson polls. I mean, this guy is nowhere near qualified to be president. He's African-American, but he's nowhere near president. People who are putting him over the top, they either low informational voters. They're Fox watchers. They're getting their news from, I don't know where they're getting their news, from the next door neighbor maybe. But getting back to Sanders, he has to address these things. And I saw him recently. I read one of his articles or saw him in the paper recently. He did not address any of that. And if he is addressing socialist or communism, he's not doing it effectively because a lot of people still aren't getting it. But I would think that most of Sanders' supporters are still with him. Obviously, Hillary Clinton then picked off some of his supporters, you know, because she did a great job in that hearing yesterday with these clown Republicans wasting taxpayer money on something that's, you know, has been talked about for years. I mean, what they talked about in this hearing yesterday happened in 2011, 4 years ago. And they still coming after Clinton for this only because they want to try to ruin her chances at becoming president of the United States. That's all it is. These evil, low-down, stupid-ass men throwing questions at her, and she's just deflecting them skillfully, proving that she is presidential material, proving that. But Sanders, you know, like I've said in so many shows that Sanders is the guy that I support, but he is sinking. And I think it's a matter of his own doing. I think it's probably his own doing, not so much as Hillary is out, you know, trying to erode his support. I think that he's, some of it is his own doing. I think he messed up when he cuddled Clinton and said that thing about her emails, those damn emails. I think that was a defining point for him. I think his poll numbers started to go down then, you know, because it seemed like he was rooting for Clinton as well as her supporters was. So if Bernie Sanders loved Clinton, why not his supporters love her? I think that's one of the, I could be wrong, but that's my assessment, you know. And I'm pretty sure there's other factors in the why. But he sounds desperate now. He sounds desperate. And like I've said many times, I will vote for either Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton, but I will never vote for a Republican. And I don't think people who vote are idiots. And I'm pretty sure a large percentage of Americans don't think that either, you know. So I don't think you're an idiot if you vote. I think you're an idiot if you do not vote. I'm going to put it that way. I said I wasn't, but I finally did. Okay. So this is George Water Jr. It's George Water Jr. Show, 710 in Chicago. It's 62 degrees, I believe, here in Chicago. I'm near the lake. I'm in my studio. 347-857-1762. Call in or just sit back and just enjoy the show like I am. I am. And, okay, are Dems just weak and crybabies? I think some of them are. I think some of them are. I really do think some of them are. Not all of them, like John Boehner. that guy, the Speaker of the House, he cried so much, I just made me sick to the stomach. You know, so, yeah, I do think sometimes Dems, and this, I guess basically what I'm saying, this is about Sanders. Dems are weak. They don't fight back. They do not fight back. And some people say, what do they call liberals? Bleeding heart liberals. And some Democrats are bleeding heart liberals. I'm not a bleeding heart liberal, but I don't think of myself as a socialist. I don't think of myself as anti-socialist. I'm somewhere in the middle, but Sanders has to define that. He has to let people know what he's talking about because a lot of people are afraid of the word socialist, you know, and he wears that label proudly. So we have to let us, I know what it is. I'm pretty sure you know what it is, but a lot of people out there do not know what it is, and they're confused by it. And a lot of people are breaking away from him and going to Clinton. And I've heard a lot of people say the reason why they're not going to vote for Bernie Sanders because he's too old. I think that's a ridiculous reason not to vote for somebody, because Bernie Sanders is calling for free colleges. He's calling for free medical. He's calling for, and that's things that are socialist. That's things that are socialist. But socialist is a much broader word than just giving away things, you know. And obvious, Hillary is not a socialist. She doesn't believe in free college. She doesn't believe in free health care. You know why? Because she's saying that she doesn't want to give free college to rich people. She doesn't want rich people to go and get free medical care. I don't understand that. Of course, it's going to have to depend on, if you're going to get free college, free medical care, it's going to have to depend on your income, of course. I'm pretty sure Bernie is not just going to just make everything free, you know, because it ain't going to happen. Because, you know, if you try to do that, you're going to have people going to abuse the system. People who can afford it are going to go get it free. You know, people who can afford to pay for education are going to be getting it free. People who can afford to pay for Medicare are going to be free. That this is what Clinton is talking about. Bernie is talking about just making stuff free across the board. Period. Anybody, if you're sick, you get it free, no matter what your income, it's free. And Hillary says no, 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 no. All right, we're going to take a break right here. I'll be right back. Stay with me. All right, okay, a few of my guests on the George Wilders Jr. Show that is coming up in November 2015. I'm about to say 2015. Okay, it's Kathy Goover, Linda L. Baron Katz. She's going to be talking about her book, Surviving Mental Illness. Also, Nancy Hartwell. Oh, this should be interesting. And Elisa Gabrielle. They will be on the George Wilder Show throughout the duration of November coming up. So stay tuned for that. This should be fun. It should be fun. It's always fun having authors on the show because I learned so much, like I said before, and they are just great people. All right, here we go. They are going to take Sanders out. I don't know if there's going to – I do think – I guess what I'm saying is that they are going to take Sanders out. I'm thinking that the Republicans are. Okay, because they're trying to take Hillary out right now with these stupid hearings that's wasting taxpayer money. I said yesterday on the show, if they're going to have these stupid hearings like the ones they had with Clinton, trying to break her, which they did not break her. They didn't break her. Now, that's a waste of taxpayer money. If they're going to have this kind of garbage, maybe these Republicans should be paying for this out of their own pockets instead of taking our money and paying for this nonsense with. And that's true. They waste your money and my money with these stupid hearings trying to take this lady out. And this lady is stronger than they are. And she's, what, 65, 67 years old? You know, so, and they're saying Sanders is too old. He does look like somebody's granddaddy, but I guess I do too. But I'm not running for president. And I don't see a problem with it. I don't. I mean, Reagan ran when he was 68. I think he became president when he was 68 years old. I think Sanders is around 73, 74 or something like that. I'm not sure. A lot of people are saying he's too old. But you know what? He's just a few years older than Hillary Clinton. But he's a viable candidate. I mean, the guy he's got so much energy. I mean, he's got a lot of energy. I mean, he's going around from state to state flying. He's on television on Saturday Night Live. Oh, yeah, speaking of Saturday Night Live, they're trying to keep Trump from doing the show. They're petitioning Saturday Night Live not to have Donald Trump, the presidential candidate, the Republican. Donald Trump was once a Democrat. He was one. But somehow, I don't know, I guess he got fed up. Anyway, the Mexican people Latinos group or something, they're petitioning Saturday Night Live not to have Donald Trump on the show because Donald Trump said he wants to deport them. He wants them out of the country. He doesn't want them having babies in the United States just so that babies can be American citizens. And that's what happens. These people come over here illegally. Some of them come over here legally. They have visas. They stay over here. They get pregnant. They come over here and get pregnant because having a baby in the United States from an immigrant makes that baby an American citizen. And by making that baby American citizens, they think that that's going to give them a ground hold on staying in America. They're using that baby. That's why they call the babies anchor babies, because the majority of the illegals come over here to have babies so that babies can be United States citizens. I think that law should be taken off the books. I really do, because it's being abused. It's being abused. I'm with the Republicans on this one, even though I'm not a Republican and I don't care for them, but they may have a point here. Because it's being abused. Did you see this lady on this airplane recently? She was pregnant. She was illegal. She was coming over here to have a baby just so the baby can be born in the United States to say the baby is an American citizen. And then after the baby was born over the sky, in the skies of the United States on the plane, and the baby is actually an American citizen because it was born here. The mother did that on purpose, to have her son or daughter born in the United States, and they deported her. She's back where she came from. But the baby is in the United States. So the lady actually fulfilled her dream or fulfilled what she wanted to do, was to have her baby in the United States so her baby could be an American, and one day she's going to be able to come over to stay in America with her baby, because they're always bitching about being separated from their kids or their family. You know, so I think it's the law, the Constitution law, the same way if you're born in the United States, no matter where you're from, that you are an American citizen. I think it's overused, especially by illegals. They take advantage of it. They take advantage. I mean, you got people coming over here illegally and having babies and then being deported and then somehow getting a lawyer and then finding a way to stay in the United States. Then you got people coming over here legally with visas. They can only stay a short time. They got to go back, and somehow they wind up getting pregnant. Excuse me. Somehow they wind up getting pregnant, and, you know, it's a weak law. It's a weak law. So, you know, what can you say? Big George here. If you have a product or a book that you would like to have advertised on this show, hook me up. I will run two spots on this show for you every show date for a month for only $29.99 per month. My show is airing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starting at 6 p.m., 90 minutes to 2 hours. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, Ken, things are really starting to hop here at the corner of 25th and State Street. There's a parade which is about to get started here, and it is protesting the cuts. The people here say that those cuts are dangerous and severe, and in this time of need, they're not only mobilizing, but the community is coming forward to help others. Last week, I told you about how the Clyde Jordan Senior Center joined others in our region by delivering its last meals on Friday. Because there is no state budget, federal money that is there for them cannot be accessed. Since our story aired, individuals, churches, and community groups have contacted the center to donate the food and the services. One man brought in about $1,000 worth of goods. Because of those donations, Tuesday, the center was able to resume its lunch at the facility as well as its delivered meals. It is a blessing for those like Ever Lois Cully who rely on them, but if the budget fight drags on between the governor and the legislature, Cully is aware the donations may not be able to keep up with the need.
It means that it probably wouldn't be as much food on the table as it would be if the meals was coming in. I'll put it that way.
Now, people gathering here include state workers, also people who are receiving the benefits who are directly impacted by this, as well as civic leaders. They're hoping that their show of protest here gets through to the governor and the legislature still battling over that state budget. Reporting live from East St. Louis, Mike Rush, 5 on your side.
Nothing's going to get through to these guys. Yet the senior citizens are starving. They are starving to death. Food stamps have been cut or they have been eliminated. And these people, Governor Rauner and these guys in his legislature, they just do not seem to care. They come out blaming each other. But I do think, I'm going to say this, and I do think that the legislature could get a budget tomorrow, this very minute, if they wanted to. They can have it. They don't need Bruce Rauner. But for some reason, for some excuses they're giving, they're saying that they may not have the votes to do that. I don't know what these people are doing. They're ruining the state. It's already ruined. The credit ratings are, every credit rating that this state has been downgraded. Every credit rating in Chicago has downrated the credit in this city. You know, so every credit rating agency has downrated the credit in this city and this state. We are in the gutter. We are totally in the gutter. And these guys, Governor Bruce Rauner, Republican, he bought the election, but there's nothing we can do until they take his ass out in handcuffs and put him in jail where he needs to be, and vote out Mike Madigan. I don't know. These people are something else. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, and we will be right back.
You got
buy books, you're not unemployed, you're just not making no money.
And
talking about the we're talking about the hurricane that's bearing down or has hit the coast of Mexico, and this is serious, and it's breaking news. Okay, I was just told I have 60 seconds. Yeah, it's menacing. Monster storm makes landfall. Wow, monster storm makes landfall as Category 5 in Mexico. So I'm going to get more news on this. I'm going to get more take on this, and I'm going to be back on the air tomorrow and to tell you guys all about it. And it's horrible. Breaking news, Hurricane Patricia. Every time I hear the word Patricia, I think of my sister, one of my sisters. I got a bunch of them. Makes landfall in Mexico, one of the strongest storms ever. That's what gets me, one of the strongest storms ever, like in the history of the world or something, you know? And so that's basically scary. Okay, folks, I'm calling off the air. I'm getting off the air. They keep telling me, your time is running out, George. All right, I will be back tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Bye.